this weekend by taking time to worship with us this morning, especially during a weekend that's being praised for being the last fun weekend of the year in celebration of all of those workforce employees and for those that toil endlessly. I appreciate that. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 17. And as you're turning there to find that ever-elusive book of Ecclesiastes, I'll enlighten you with a story of two gas company servicemen who part of the labor workforce. These two natural gas servicemen, one was a senior training supervisor and the other one was a younger one, checking out meters one day. He wasn't a training supervisor, but he was a young trainee. So they parked their car at the end of this alley and they worked their way to the other end, checking the houses on the meters and so forth. So when they got to the very last house, this woman was looking out of her kitchen window and she watched the two men check their gas meter. And as they finished the meter check, it was Friday before Labor Day weekend, long start to a Labor Day weekend, much as this weekend is here. So the older supervisor challenged the young trainee to a foot race down the back alley back to the truck. Well, as they came running to the truck, they realized that the lady from the house was huffing and puffing right behind them. So they stopped suddenly, turned around, and asked the lady, "What's wrong?" And gasping for breath, she said, "Look, when I see two gas men running full speed away from my house, I figured I'd better run too." So, you know, you never can tell what you're going to find out with Labor Day, you know. It's all, you know, those who are in the workforce cherish Labor Day weekend to celebrate it with fun and relaxation, but sometimes it can be misinterpreted. So I do thank you for joining us with us today, this morning, as we worship. But I want to speak to you today on a subject that came from a book that was written 130 years ago by a man named Russell Conwell. And he told a story that I'm going to tell you in the book, and the book became so popular that it raised $7 million and founded Temple University in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And that university stands today as a result of one story told in that book that I'm going to share with you called Acres of Diamonds. And it's a true story. It's a story about a farmer who had bought an old farm. But before I get to that story, let's read that it comes from the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. We'll start from verse 17 and read to verse 26. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 says, verse 17 says, "So I hated life, for the work which had been done under the sun was grievous to me, because everything is futility and striving after the wind." Sounds like Solomon was part of the workforce. "So thus I hated all the fruit of my labor for which I had labored under the sun, for I must leave it to the man who will come after me. Who knows whether he will be a wise man or a fool, yet he will have control over all the fruit of my labor for which I have labored by acting wisely under the sun. This too is vanity. Therefore I completely despaired all of the fruit of my labor for which I had labored under the sun. When there is a man who has labored with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, then he gives his legacy to one who has not labored with them. This too is vanity and a great evil. For what does a man get in all his labor and in his striving which he labors under the sun? Because all of his days his task is painful and grievous. Even at night his mind does not rest. This too is vanity." And then verse 24, Solomon finally realizes, "There is nothing better for a man than to eat and drink and tell himself that his labor is good. This also I have seen, and that it is from the hand of God. For who can eat and who can have enjoyment without him? For to a person who is good in his sight, he has given wisdom and knowledge and joy, while to the sinner he has given the task of gathering and collecting, so that he may give to one who is good in God's sight. This too is vanity and striving after the wind." So, the story about the farmer. He bought this old farm and he worked for many years, many, many years at it tirelessly. He had just meager earnings from this farm, and he had this old ox and he had this old plow and he had this old field and this old shack that this family lived in. and that they barely made it, just kind of scraping by. Just enough to eat on year after year after year. And then one day a traveler came through and he told the farmer what was taking place in India. He said that they had diamond mines there and that there were streams in India where they were picking diamonds out of the streams. He said men were going from poverty to wealth in just moments, in just seconds. And the story so intrigued this old farmer that he decided to sell everything that he had. He sold the old home place, the land, and then the field that he plowed on year after year after year. The old ox that he had, the plow that he had. He kissed his children and his wife goodbye, and he said, "When I come back, I'll be a wealthy man." And he said, "I'll come back," and he said, "I'll get you." And he gave them just enough money to give them just a little place to live on, and he went off chasing diamonds. He went to South Africa, and then he went to India, and then he went to Spain, and then he went all over the world. Everywhere he would hear that there was a diamond rush taking place, he would get there, and he would try to find his fortune, this fortune seeker. And he finally reached a place in Spain. In such despair, he was there. And after all, he spent all his money. He became so depressed and so discouraged that he finally dove into a raging river. And he drowned. And he pulled his body out. And the saddest part of this story, which is the true part of this story, is the farmer that bought this old farmer's place that had left. Because the farmer that took this old farmer's place that left took this old farmer's same plow and the same ox and the same field that he'd used for years and took the same field that he plowed on, and he lived in the same shack and on the same farm, and he was plowing in that field one day. And he noticed all of these black rocks in this field. And he picked one of these rocks up that was in that field, and he said in his own words, it looked like a rainbow was inside of this black rock. He said it sparkled like it was technicolor when he held it up to the sun. And he thought that was very unusual about this rock. He thought it was kind of different. He's never seen a rock like that. So he took it in and he put it on top of his little meager mantle over his little country fireplace in that little old shack that he was living in, put that little black rock on that mantle, and he just kind of left it there. Well, one day the priest came by and he heard that the new farmer had moved into the community and took this old farmer's place over, wanted to welcome him. And so as he was talking to this farmer, and the priest stopped in mid-sentence and his eyes fell on that black rock on that mantle, and he said, "Where did you get that?" And the farmer said, "Well, I got it out in the field." He said, "They're everywhere out there." And the priest said, "You know, I was a jeweler before I became a priest." And he said, "I know for a fact that's a diamond." He said, "You have to chip away, and you have to shape it, and you have to peel away that outer cover. But inside that black rock, there's a diamond." Did you say you had some more?" said the priest. "Well, yes, sir," the farmer said. So before too long, the farmer and priest were out there on that field on all fours gathering rocks and putting them in the buckets. And astonishingly, they found acres and acres of diamonds. This isn't a made-up story. It would become known as the world's most significant diamond find, which is now known as the De Beer Diamond Mines. It became when a man who had once had it all under his feet didn't know what he had. He left it to go all over the world to only to try what he find when all the time he had it right under his feet. He never realized that he had been living on a field of diamonds. He never realized the potential of the place of where he was. He thought that if he went to South Africa If he went to Spain, if he went to India, it was out there. What I'm looking for is out there, it's not here. When all of the time there was a field of diamonds. And I see this story repeated over and over again. Some people don't realize the unsearchable riches of Christ. They have right here at their hand, right here in this building, right here, right now. You're searching for this, you're searsearching for that, chasing this, chasing that. When you don't understand in Jesus Christ that in the church you can find a field of diamonds, or like in the book, acres of diamonds. I guess you can kind of see where I'm going with this. I mean, I see it all the time as a pastor. I see men who leave a good family, or women who leave a good man and good children, because the world says somewhere out there there's diamonds. Somewhere out there there's somebody that will make you so fulfilled and so happy. You know, it's not what you have in life, but who you have to share it with that counts. Not realizing they have a field of diamonds right where they are. And they're searching, trying to go here and trying to find this and that. And the enemy wants you to become so convinced that it's out there. And it's not in here. But I'm telling you, right here in this room, you know, Jesus Christ, you can find him in the field of diamonds. That's why David said in Psalms 119, verse 18, he said, "Open my eyes that I can see the wondrous things in your word, O God. Open my eyes." You know, I've often wondered about the prodigal son. I've often wondered what he was thinking when he left his father's house. He had everything. He took his father's inheritance, but somebody got into his head. Somebody came through and said, "Man, out there, they're having a good time. They're living it up. Out there, you're really missing out. Out there where life really is." And he was inside his father's house where he had everything. That person, whoever it was, had to get inside his head that it's out there, not in here. And so he gathered his father's inheritance and he went out there to a foreign country and he spent all he had chasing diamonds. If I get this, I'll be happy. If I get that, I'll be happy. I'll achieve this, I'll be happy. But he ended up empty, eating swine's food in a pig pen. And he turns one day and he said, "In the swine's filth, at least in my father's house, there's hired servants, and I'm going back home." And when he got home, he discovered that there was a field of diamonds right there, and he should have never left. Because this world will lie to you. This world will lie to you. Do you know how many times as a deacon, as a pastor, over 20 years I've seen a good marriage, people leave a good marriage over chasing diamonds that has become a piece of old coal, a vapor, a carbon, and look back to see that precious diamond children, that husband, that wife, and think to themselves, "Oh God, I don't know what I had when I had it." You have to understand something about diamonds. It takes time for a diamond to process. A diamond has its beam because there's intense heat and pressure. For without heat and pressure, it's just a piece of coal. But if the exact amount of heat and pressure are placed on that old piece of coal, it births a diamond. God won't allow you to go through more than you can bear. He won't put on you more than you can bear. Because, you see, if it's too much heat, it becomes carbon and it evaporates. And if it's not enough, it remains a piece of coal and it's useless. But if he's got just enough pressure. And that's why you've got to understand that God knows how to birth the diamond within you. Don't run from your trials, for in them you'll learn more, you'll become more, you'll do more. God's putting the pressure and the heat on you so that he can bring forth the diamond in you. Because he says in you, I see a field of diamonds. I know that those children get on your nerves, but God sees a field of diamonds. I know that sometimes that marriage relationship is tough, but God says, don't go chasing a diamond that you think is a diamond. Because you're going to find out that they get up just like your wife. They burp and pass gas just like your husband. Why don't you dig in your own backyard? If the grass looks greener on the other side, then fertilize your yard. Don't go jumping the fence when you think something's out there. Dig in your own backyard. You know, some of you can't hold a job. Ooh, it's still quiet out there. You know, because some of us are looking for a big miracle out there, a huge deal. There's a field of diamonds in the job that you have. You see, it's all how you look at it. Because that's why you need to pray like David, open my eyes that I can see the opportunities, the potential, the relationships that are in my job right now. Open my eyes to see the beauty of the place that I'm in right now. One guy's flipping hamburgers at McDonald's saying, this job's no good for me. I'm better than this. While the other guy's flipping hamburgers at McDonald's saying, in 10 years, I'm going to own 15 more of these. 15 more McDonald's. There's a field of diamonds, but if all that you see is the glass half empty, then you'll never see the possibility that God has put you in, the place that He has right now. Because we're living in spiritual poverty many times in the midst of untold spiritual wealth. Because in every church there's a field of diamonds. And I want to say to the disciples out there who are truly seeking the Word of God, quit running from church to church to try to find a diamond mine. Why don't you take the bunch of coal that you have and apply enough fire of the Holy Spirit and enough pressure from the Word of God until they become diamonds? And your church you can find here will do amazing things. There's a field of diamonds right here. You know, there's a phenomenon that takes place in South America where the Amazon River meets the Atlantic Ocean. The Amazon River is the most mighty river in the world. It's 50 plus miles wide. And it flows into the Atlantic Ocean. The Amazon River, full of fresh, clear water. And it flows into the salt water of the Atlantic Ocean. And there was a ship that was flowing out there, way out to sea. It couldn't see land. It was way out there. And they were so far out to sea, and they were in distress. And these men were thirsting to the point of dehydration. Well, they were out there in the ship, and then they saw another ship out into the horizon coming right toward them, and they got very excited. And this was back in the days when they could only communicate with flags, and so the men on the boat, where there was no water, they took the flags, and they got on the deck of the boat, and they started doing these flag signals, which signaled, give us water. And the guy on the other boat that was in the horizon flagged back, let down your bucket. So they turned to the other in dismay on the ship and they said, they must not have understood us on that other ship. And so they said, climb up there on the pole there a little bit higher so they can see you better. So he climbs up on the pole and he takes his flags and he says, give us water with his flags. And the guy flags back on the other ship, let down your bucket. Now the ship's starting to go past them now, and it's starting to fade in the horizon, and the men are starting to realize they're going to thirst to death. And so he goes through the flags again, give us water. And the guy flags back, let down your bucket. And one of the men on the deck said, I don't understand what they're saying, but I guess it's worth a try. So he takes his bucket, and he dips his bucket down into the water over the ship, and he dips it down, and he raises it up, and they take a drink. And to come to find out, they find cool, fresh, clear water. Because when the Amazon River flows into the Atlantic Ocean, it goes out for 200 miles. And that clear, fresh water pushes that salt water down, and there's nothing but clear, fresh water. All the time they were thirsting, and they didn't understand that right beneath them was clear, fresh water all during that time. And I feel like saying to somebody today who's thirsty, who desperately needs life, if you'll just let down your bucket, just let it down. Right here, right now, you don't have to go to another person. You don't have to search for another diamond. You don't have to go out into anything in the world that says, I can fix your problems. Right here in this room, there's a well of living water, and His name is Jesus Christ. And if you'll just let down your bucket, there's a field of diamonds in Him. Everything that you'll need, every provision for your body, soul, and spirit is in Jesus. There's a field of diamonds. You're chasing this, you're chasing that, when you just need to let your buckets down. Just let them down. You know, I'm glad for that thief that was dying and hanging on the cross right beside him when Jesus was bleeding and dying. One on the left side looked at him and cursed him and didn't see in him a field of diamonds. He didn't see that he was the precious Son of God while he was bleeding away. He didn't see it. But the other one on the other side said, open my eyes. He said, when you come into your kingdom, will you remember me, Jesus? And Jesus said, this day you shall be with me in a field of diamonds. You'll have gold under your feet. You'll enter through the gates of pearls. You'll live with me in paradise with me. They were both looking at the same thing, both going through the same trial, going through the same suffering, and one of them cursed God, but the other one saw a field of diamonds. 1 Peter 4:12 says, think not it strange when you go through fiery trials. God is going to bring forth the diamonds in you. You know, I feel sorry for anyone who's like Demas. For the Bible said in 2 Timothy 4:10 that Demas forsook the Apostle Paul. Paul said that Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, having chased diamonds. Think about it. Here's a man who could have been the greatest apostle. He was with the greatest apostle who ever lived. And he heard there was something out there that he couldn't find in God. Something in the kingdom. And he left the greatest apostle Paul chasing diamonds. He could have been the next Timothy. He could have written a book in the Bible. He could have been the next great immortal voice for the kingdom of God. But he started chasing diamonds when he didn't understand all the time that there was a field of diamonds right there where he was. And I'm saying to you today that there's a hidden potential in your present job. Because the man in the story that I told you about took the same plow, the same ox, the same dirt. And somebody's going to take your same stuff that you've given up on and get a miracle with it. Because they've decided to see what God sees and not listen to live by what they see. There's hidden potentials in the relationships that you're in, the current marriage that you're in, the current location that you're living in now. And the answer to your dreams may be found at your fingertips if only you're really willing to believe in the possible. So before making any big life changes, you better look carefully around you. You may be sitting in a field of diamonds. You may go off and lose everything only to come back home and find out everything I was looking for is found right here in Jesus, in the kingdom, perhaps even in this church. And I want to decree to the devil today that I'm not missing out anything in this world has to offer, because I would rather have Jesus then I'd rather be right here with God's people, letting Him shape us and mold us, because we've got a purpose and we've got a destiny. I've got a purpose, I've got a destiny, and you do too. And it's not out there, it's here within Christ Jesus, within the church. And you don't have to search and you don't have to try to know it's not for you. Drop your bucket and dig in your own backyard. And I'd like to close today with this story that sums my point up well. You know, an old tale is told in India where a water bearer in India had two large pots that he carried. One hung on each pole, which he carried around his neck. And one of the pots had a crack in it, while the other pot was perfect and always carried a full portion of water. And at the end of the long walk from the stream to the master's house, the cracked pot only arrived half full. For a full 2 years, this went on each day, the water bearer only delivering 1.5 pots full of water to the master's house. And of course, the full pot was very proud of his accomplishments, perfect to the end from which it was made. But the poor cracked pot was so ashamed of its own imperfection and miserable for what it had tried to accomplish, only half of what it was made to do. And after 2 years of what it perceived to be a bitter failure, it finally spoke to the water bearer that day down by the stream. And it told the water bearer, he said, "I'm ashamed of myself and I want to apologize to you." "Why?" asked the water bearer. "What are you ashamed of?" And the poor cracked pot said, "I have been able for these past 2 years to only deliver half the load because of this crack in my side, because it causes the water to leak out all the way back to your master's house. And because of my flaws, all the work you have to do, and you don't get the full value from your efforts." Well, the water bearer felt sorry for the old cracked pot, and in his compassion, he said, "As we return to the master's house," he said, "I want you to notice that all the beautiful flowers along the path." And indeed, as they went up to the hill, the old cracked pot took notice of the sun warming the beautiful wildflowers on the side of the path, and it cheered it up some. But at the end of the trail, it still felt bad because it leaked out all of its half of along the road, and so it apologized to the water bearer for its failure. And the water bearer said to the pot, "Did you notice that there were flowers on your side of the trail and none on the side of the path of the other pot side?" He said, "That's because for years I've known about your flaw and I took advantage of it." He said, "I planted flower seeds along your path. And every day when we walk back from the stream, you've watered them. And for 2 years, I've been able to pick up these beautiful flowers, to pick these beautiful flowers to decorate my master's table. Without you being able to be just the way you are, he wouldn't have this beauty to grace his table with, the beautiful flowers that you've watered." You see, each one of us has our own unique flaws because we're all crackpots in some form or another. You know, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 in God's Word says, "We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared for us in advance to do." Each one of us has a gift to give, to allow that gift to bring forth light in the field of diamonds around you. Solomon, who God bestowed great wisdom upon, understood that if you find satisfaction in the work that you do and start to think about the word gratefulness, you'll soon understand to see the big picture about how God is giving you wisdom, knowledge, and happiness in your life through others and the things around you. Where are you at today in your field? Are you still digging? Or have maybe you've abandoned your field? I hope not. Maybe you found a rock in your field, a surprise, and maybe you've stuck it on the mantle, maybe not quite knowing what it is, but you knew it's something special. Maybe you've discovered that you're rich and you've found your field. Maybe it's time for you to celebrate, and you just never celebrated the fact. Maybe you need to celebrate today. The altar is open for ministry. Whether you want to celebrate in your field or come home to your field or just need to find your place. If you need to receive Jesus Christ today and make Him the most precious gem in your life, then today is the day of your salvation. Today may be the day you need to surrender your life over to Him and stop looking for diamonds elsewhere. And realize He's trying to show you a field if you'll only let Him take your plow and use your field. Come drop your bucket today before you die of thirst and realize He's the fountain of life that your inner spirit is crying out for. Come as we stand in worship and sing. Stand with us today as we sing and worship. Come drop your bucket. This morning again for joining us for Labor Day weekend. Appreciate you for joining us. And as we go today and as we go back into the workforce next week, for those of you that work, for those of you retired, we love you so much. Just remember to look for the field of diamonds around you, to notice those who are precious around you, and those things that are precious around you. Things may change in your life, but that doesn't mean that you can't find diamonds in the new things, the new places, and the new items that God has placed in your life. Don't let someone else come along and take that from you. It's all in gratefulness how we look at it. Father, we just thank You so much for Your Word. We praise Your holy name. Show us, Father, what our value. Show us our workmanship that You've made us, Father. Let us let You work within us. Let us be Your vessel. Show us great and mighty things that You place within us, Father. We want to be Your servants. Develop in us a servant's heart, that we may be Your disciples. For we love You and we praise Your name. Amen.